Christmas. It's all about peace, isn't it? Nice piece of turkey a little bit later on, yes? Followed by a nice piece of Christmas pudding or Christmas cake. Even yummier? Yeah, if we're lucky. Maybe if someone in your household has got a new computer game of some sort. A piece of the action. Who knows what you're going to be battling before the end of Christmas Day. Or perhaps it will be literal and those family tensions will boil over. And it's today's going to be the day you finally give someone a piece of your mind. Yes, Christmas is all about peace, P-I-E-C-E. Or perhaps not. Perhaps you love that moment later on Christmas Day when everyone's full and all the presents have been unwrapped and the little ones have nodded off. It's funny how grandparents just get shorter, isn't it? And the lights are low and Michael Bublé or the King's College Choir are singing your favourite Christmas music, and that's your sense of peace, isn't it? Christmas all about P-E-A-C-E. Well, so it shouldn't surprise us then that Jesus was born at Christmas to bring us peace. We've been thinking about why was Jesus born at Christmas? And one of the reasons is he was born at Christmas to bring peace. But then again, perhaps it should surprise us. I mean, this year we've remembered the 100th anniversary of the armistice, the declaration of peace that was to see the conclusion, the end of the war, to end all wars. Well, it was a nice thought, wasn't it? It was a noble sentiment, a lofty ideal. Didn't quite work out like that, did it? As a planet and a people, we've hardly ever been at peace in the century following. Every year sees conflict dragging on or breaking out in some part of the world. And if we're honest, it's pretty much the same in our human hearts too. But Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 17 that Jesus came not preaching hellfire and damnation to rebellious sinful humanity, but he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. Jesus could have preached condemnation. He certainly preached judgment. But he could have preached condemnation. He would, as God, have been well within his rights. But how amazingly wonderful that Paul tells us that really Jesus did that to prompt us to take action so that we'd hear him preaching peace to us. And part of that peace was peace between us as people. The context of Ephesians 2 is the animosity between the Jews and the non-Jewish Gentiles. In the past, the Jews, and only the Jews, have been God's chosen people. But now, through faith in Christ's death and resurrection, Jew and Gentile could together be children of God. And in verse 14, Paul says, Jesus himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So through faith in Jesus, the people of God can include anyone. Jew, Gentile, Brit, Spaniard, male, female, same-sex attracted, single, Brexiteer, Remainer. We can all be one in Jesus Christ. If our faith is in Jesus' once and for all sacrifice to pay for our sins and in his resurrection, if we're living lives worthy of the gospel of Christ and being faithful to God's word, and if we're keeping in step with his spirit, then we are united as the people of God. Jesus has made us one. He himself is our peace. So look, don't get grumpy with your family when everyone's a little bit overtired later on today. Be at peace. And then lastly, because I believe the oven's on, just dwell again on that good news in verse 14. Jesus himself is our peace. And not just with one another, but as the previous verse reminds us, we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Brought near to whom? To God himself. Take a look at verses 15 and 16 if it's open in front of you. His purpose was to create in himself one humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. You see, through Jesus, we're at peace with the rest of God's people and at peace with God himself. No wonder the night he was born, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." So remember, when the roasties burn, when your brother breaks your new present, when the turkey dries up or inexplicably needs an extra hour in the oven when everything else is ready, when no one seems appreciative or everyone is offering help where you really just don't need it, when the TV packs in or, like in our family's case, the washing machine last night gives up the ghost, when the internet stops working, or if you're sat on your own having cheese on toast, remember, Jesus came at Christmas for none of those things. Oh, he cares. Not that he's not bothered. But that's not why he came at Christmas. Jesus came to make peace between us and God possible. To end the hostility between us that we declared. And then not only to reunite us to God, but also to make us part of God's great family as well. You're not alone. You're never alone. Be at peace. Jesus came at Christmas to bring us peace. Real peace. Worthwhile peace. Eternal peace. And that is what Christmas is really all about. Amen.